third section, or at least the third section based on my outline of the book of James. That starts at verse 9. James chapter 1, starting at verse 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. So, one of the big themes we've seen is that we can have faith in the eternal promises of God, and we have a sure hope that does not end. And James has been encouraging believers to persevere until the end, until they may be perfect and complete. And now here we see an example of something that is not eternal and something that will pass away, and something that really is not something you should be putting your faith in, and that's riches, pride. The pride and riches are tied together a lot in this passage. But it can be a lot of other things that can make us proud. Anything that is based in this world and in this world's goods, in anything that's temporary, any pride, any hope that we have in anything that's not in the eternal Father, who does not change, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning, anything else is something that will pass away. And James is reminding believers here that they shouldn't be putting their hope in what is temporary, but they should be putting their hope in what is eternal. So please turn to James chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, yeah. James chapter 29. Good luck with that. Jeremiah chapter 29. Book of Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read some verses that talk about the same topic of trusting in God rather than in temporary things. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 23. Jeremiah 29:23. No, wait a minute. That is not right. Must have misspelled it in my notes. So I don't know if I will be able to find the verse that I was thinking of. So I may have to skip that one. All right. I'll go on to the next verse I have. Sorry about that. Next verse is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. So 1 Timothy chapter 6. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives to us richly all things to enjoy. And so we see that we shouldn't be trusting in, again, temporary things. We should be trusting in the eternal and living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The devil often tempts us with the things in this world, and we think that we can find fulfillment and satisfaction in them. But only God can satisfy. Only God can give us the desires of our heart, really. So anything else that we try to chase after is a lie and is a deception. God gives us richly all things to enjoy, and only He can provide us with satisfaction and fulfillment. So I think that's one of the things that James is trying to communicate when he reminds those who are rich not to be caught up in what they have in this world. And again, throughout this whole chapter, he points back to the promises of God, and we'll see that in the next section when we go there. So we see here all riches are passing away. But I'd like to look at a few things that are not passing away based on other passages in the Bible, and then we'll see in the book of James that James talks about all these things later on. So some things that do not pass away. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'd like to read from Isaiah 40, starting at verse 6. Isaiah 40, starting at verse 6. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." So the word of God is something that's eternal and that stands forever. And actually, that's another topic that will come up later on in the book of James. So just keep that in mind. I know I'm asking you to remember a lot of stuff. But remember, the word of God is eternal. And there are other things that are eternal. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And I'll read starting at verse 15. Psalm 103, 15. "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." So the Lord's mercy is another thing that is everlasting and that we can trust in. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Another example of something that abides, that endures forever. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 17 says, "The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." And now 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And this will actually quote the passage we read in Isaiah. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 22. 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 22. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. Grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So again, we have that the word of God is eternal. And this is the word of God that helps us to grow and helps us to put off the old man and the old deeds and to grow in righteousness and in love. And of course, that's a topic in the book of James, putting off evil and having pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God, and doing what is good and being born of the eternal word of God. And the eternal word of God again comes up later on in the book of James. And so now, yeah, let's move on to the next section now in the book of James. So you can go back to the book of James. And I'll read now starting at verse 12. The next section in the book of James. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So now this next section is on temptation, and we see here for the first time the word promise, and we have the crown of life again, which I read about earlier in the book of Revelation, the crown of life the Lord has promised to those who love him. And this now this section about enduring temptation is similar to the section about enduring trials. There are two different kinds of trials. One is trials when you're suffering, and the other is trials when you want to do something that is wrong and you resist it, and you endure. And the same word, the same wording is used when we're having suffering and trials, we need patience. And when we're enduring temptation, we have to endure and keep on going until the end. And again, just like for the trials in the earlier section, the reason that we can endure is because we have a hope. And now James finally puts a name on this hope, and he says, when we have been approved, you will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Earlier, it said that we may be perfect and complete. Now it's the crown of life. And that is contrasted with someone who gives in to temptation. If you look down at verse 15, it says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. The one who endures temptation receives the crown of life. The one who gives in to desire and sin gets death. And so there's this contrast between these two outcomes. So the important thing to remember is that the promise of God is sure, and he has promised life to those who love him. So we need to focus on him and not on the world. So now I'm going to move on to the next section, and this is the one I was reading earlier. Starting at verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. No variation and shadow of turning. Unlike the world that passes away, unlike the unstable man who doesn't have faith, God's promises are sure, and his gifts are eternal. So turn now to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Just thinking about the eternal promises of God. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? And we can trust in God because his promises are sure. I guess I have an overlap in my sections here. Let me reread the last verse in that section I read. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Again, we remember that we were reading earlier that the word of God is eternal. We are brought forth by the word of God. And so now, after all this, James is going to come to a conclusion, and we have our first therefore in verse 19, or so then in my translation. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness and with humility the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. At the beginning of the chapter, James talks about our own trials and our own struggles that we're supposed to be joyful in and be glad in. And at the very end, we have the troubles of others, visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And so now we've come around in sort of a circle, and we're not looking at our own troubles, but we're looking at other people and seeing how we can be a help and how we can show the love of God, keeping in mind what is eternal, not what is temporary, trusting in God's promises, and just focusing on Him and not on the world. And of course, when we focus on Him and we see others in the world who need His love, and we go out and we show the love of God. So now I'd like to open it up and see if you have any thoughts on this chapter that I've shared. I've shared some of mine, and I have some more things I can talk about, but I'd like to give you a chance if there's anything that stuck out to you as we've been reading this chapter. Feel free right now if you have any questions. I almost think it would have been easier for them when they were enduring the plundering of their goods and being thrown in prison and being killed, to keep their focus on eternal things, because they know then that, you know, they could die at any moment. But now that's kind of over with, and they're all scattered, and they're going back to the mundane things of life. And that's really when they need to endure. And I think that same thing can happen to us sometimes. It's often very long, slow processes that are the hardest to go through, the hardest to endure. But of course, everything is short in light of eternity. And there's a verse about that, actually. I don't remember if I know where it is. I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, let me check. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So, yeah. All this is temporary and it's fleeting. You know, 10,000, when we've been there 10,000 years, our lifetime will just be this tiny little blip in our existence. So we really can have joy through tribulation and through trials and through temptation. because we know that if we endure just for a little while, we will one day be with the Lord. Any other thoughts before I go on? James is very concerned with the practical outworking of faith. And of course, we have in chapter 2 that whole faith without works is dead. So he's concerned not just about saying you have faith, but in showing you have faith. And this is the way that you show your faith when you remember God, even when you're in the world and the distractions of the world are all around you. It's very easy to get distracted. I know for me it is. I'm sure it is for you too. But God is eternal. We just need to be reminded of that. course, a very important aspect of faith is who you put your faith in, whether you put it in the eternal God or in the things of this world or in yourself or doing good works. Anything else before we move on? Okay. So I have here a few words and themes that I saw repeated throughout this chapter. Some of them I brought out a little already. I'd like to just go through some of them because I think it's really interesting to see the things that keep popping up again and again. One of them is this idea of being perfect and complete. And the first time we have that is in verse 4, where it says, "Let patience have its perfect work so that you may be perfect and complete." Of course, that's looking forward to someday when we will be perfect and complete. And the second time we see this word perfect is in verse 17. It says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights." And we see it again in verse 25. "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work will be blessed in what he does." Then last time you see it, it's sort of different. It's the word unspotted in the last verse. Pure and undefiled religion, perfect religion for God and the Father, is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted, or separate or holy, or perfect from the world. So that's one thing that comes up. The other thing that comes up several times is the Word of God. The first time it's introduced is in verse 18, when it says, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth." And we see it again in verse 21, where we're commanded to lay aside all filthiness and receive with meekness and with humility the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. And then the last time we see it is in verse, well, not the last time we see it, but the last section, because I've grouped these all together, is when we're told to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And so we've been brought forth by the word of truth. And James' point is now you should receive it and do it, not just hear it and not just listen to it, but practically work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, as I think the Apostle Paul said that. Another thing that we see several times throughout this chapter is the theme of truth, the sure, versus deception and lies. So we see in verse 12 that the promises of the Lord are true, and they are not, they're not deceptions, they're sure. But then in verse 16, he tells the believers not to be deceived, to remember that every good gift comes from God. And in 22, he tells them to be doers of the word, not hearers only, because if they live that way, they're deceiving themselves. And then in verse 26, it again says, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he is deceiving his own heart." So there's this idea here that the promises of God are true and eternal. If we claim to be believers, we claim to have faith, and don't live that way and don't live by faith in God, then we're deceiving ourselves and living in lies. Yeah. And the temporary versus the eternal, I've talked about a lot, so I won't go over that again. The final thing that comes up again and again, I think it's kind of interesting, and I've talked about this a little bit, is the idea of the eternal reward, or not reward, consequences of our actions. So we see in verse 4, if we endure temptations, then that reward is being perfect and complete. And then in verse 8, if you don't have faith, the consequence of that is instability. And then we see in verse 11, if you trust in your riches, the consequence of that is that you'll fade away. And then in verse 12, we see that if you endure temptation, the reward for that is the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Then if we look down in verse 15, we see that the consequence of sin is death. And in verse 20, we see that the consequences of the wrath of man is not the righteousness of God, but rather if we are slow to wrath, then that produces the righteousness of God. In verse 21, the implanted word is receiving the implanted word results in the saving of your souls. And finally, in verse 25, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Yeah. All right, so I once had some advice from a speaker, I think at Greenwood Hills, and he said, when you run out of gas, land the plane. So I'm out of material now, and it's a little early, but I'm not going to try to keep going now. So let's just pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, thank you for all that you've revealed to us in your word. Please help us to trust in you and to follow you and not to deceive ourselves and not to be hypocritical, but to really have faith in you and in you alone, and not in ourselves and not in man. And please help us to have a heart for the things that you care about and to keep your commandments and to show your love and your kindness to everyone who's around us. We ask these things and we thank you for your sure promises. In Jesus' name.